Plenty happening in the world of cricket. South Africa today taking a test match today, 5, for the first time in 5 years on South African soil, and eventually beating Sri Lanka 2-0 in the series, winning the second test by 109 runs. It sounds convincing. It was anything but. Going into the final day, all results were possible. I suppose when we saw the weather and saw it was a clear day, the draw was pretty much out of the equation, but either side could have won it. The tie was also still possible. South Africa did the business in the end, but it was hard work. To unpack that series for us, and more importantly, to look at what it means as far as the World Test Championship is concerned, a very good evening to our cricket correspondent, Kevin Rademeier. Kevin, good to have you back on the show. Good evening.
Good evening, Michael. I'm surprised you still want to talk cricket after the 5 days you spent in studio commentating on it.
Yeah, it's pretty exhausting. And in between presenting the show and commentating soccer matches and watching Norwich City. But the more we talk about, I think we'll maybe leave that topic. Just one note on, firstly, Kevin, thank you so much for your very, very kind messages about the success of our show. You're a very big part of that, and we are very grateful to you for all your fantastic contributions on the show. So thank you very much for that.
Pleasure, and congratulations to you, Len, and the rest of the team. I think it's awesome, and definitely something that you deserve. As I said to you and to Len, you guys don't do it for that, for the awards. You do it for the love, and we can see the passion. So congrats on the team.
Thank you very much. I know you also said to me in a private message that you couldn't believe after my football team scored 10 goals in 2 matches last week that they could go to second bottom, they were QPR on Saturday and lose 3-0 in the most horrible, horrible match in rainy, wet conditions. But my side can't stand up to physical teams, so maybe that's something that they just have to get used to. But anyhow, let's talk cricket, because it's always fun to talk cricket to you. What did you make of the Test series, watching it on television and being able to sort of experience some highs and some lows and some interesting moments? Just sum up what you experienced over the last 5 days, and indeed over the 2 matches completely.
You're correct. I had to watch it on TV, which is a bit strange, and you get a bit of a different perspective. I think it was great. And I think if we go back not long ago, there was a lot of negativity when Bhuvuma became captain, when Shukri Conrad took over as a coach. We went over to New Zealand and basically forfeited that series, and it was all doom and gloom. Now we're looking a year and a bit after that, and South Africa's on top of the World Test Championship. And they've definitely, the two of them combining, have definitely become a force multiplier. They've taken the individuals and definitely strengthened them into one cohesive unit. And I think the best part of it is you can see the joy in the players again. When every time, and like you commented, and it Stubbs's elation when there's wickets. People are happy when the other batsmen are scoring runs. It really, really looks like a happy, happy camp at the moment. And you can see it with the results.
And, of course, South Africa going into the second test with two key players missing. Vian Mulder, who basically does everything in the team, he was unavailable. Gerald Coetzee went through a rigorous fitness training program ahead of the season. He, of course, got injured and was unable to play in this test. So there were decisions to be made ahead of this test match. I suppose Shukri Conrad will say Ryan Rickelton came in, made 100, and then Dane Patterson came in, took 5 wickets, his best test haul. So I suppose the decisions were vindicated, but South Africa went on a very long route in order to be able to win this match.
They were vindicated, and once again, there was a lot of naysayers, a lot of negativity towards choosing Rickelton again, and especially Patterson. I see Patterson has come out now on social media and basically said thank you to those people who doubted him. This victory and this Man of the Match award is for that, and his 5-wicket haul is to prove them wrong. And that's a good thing. As Bhuvuma also said after the match today, he's a quiet person, he doesn't talk too much, his batting must do the talking for him. And I think if South Africa just had, if all of the players as a team and as a combination have that theory and do their talking on the field, I think this team can go places.
I'm just hoping also, Kevin, that when Pakistan come to our shores, well, they're here already, of course, but when we get into the test series, those 2 matches at Centurion and in Cape Town, that South Africa go with the quicks and have some backup in reserve, because our bowlers look pretty exhausted towards the end of it all. And test matches are won by having the extra bowler on than the extra batter. You can see why the extra batter was played, but with a need to win one of the next two test matches, as we'll have that discussion in a little while, and with weather vagaries, particularly at Centurion, I'd like to see South Africa going with four quicks on the morning of the 26th. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm with you there, and I think we can both agree that we hope it's a green top. Pakistan often struggle to come play test matches in South Africa. They're pretty dominant in their own country. But in South Africa, where the ball bounces a lot higher than most places in the world, they do struggle with that extra pace. And we're hoping that the ball can zip off, make it a 3-4 day match, and get our bowlers into it. However, as we know, Centurion helps the spinners on the 4th and 5th day. Mm. So like you said, if we can do a green top out there, let's get our quicks into it. Rabada needs a couple of wickets. He didn't get many wickets this series, even though he bowled exceptionally well. Some of the balls were just unplayable, and it happens. But the next series, they can turn around. He can get those edges going to slip and turn it around. So I'm agreeing with you. Let's play Pakistan. Let's get the pitches to our strength, like we did in that first test, and let's see what they can do against our pace.
Just to clarify, I'd like South Africa to go in with four quicks and a spinner for the record and play a batsman light. I think South African batting is strong enough to be able to handle it with a number of our bowlers who bat all the way down effectively. So I think that would be a nice selection, but obviously there's lots of water to flow under that bridge. Let's just talk very briefly about the women. Our ladies doing brilliantly in Kimberley in the first ODI against England a couple of days ago, but then a bit of a disaster on the black day, such a significant day yesterday in Durban, and our team just didn't pitch up.
It was a significant day, obviously, for gender-based violence, like the pink day of the men who do it for breast cancer. And it was a bit of a disaster. Wickets fell, including a hat-trick for England. 135 actually looks a lot better than it was at one stage, with some good contributions at the end. But it was a walk in the park for England. They won with more than half the overs left, 25.1 overs left. But the decider will be played on Wednesday at Potchefstroom. If you remember, we went down 3-0 in the T20 series. So all to play for on Wednesday. And hopefully we can take the ODI series with one test then to come on the 15th of December.
Yeah, that'll be really great. As you say, so much to happen at Potchefstroom on Wednesday. We wish our ladies luck. Let's hope they can continue on their good success that they had in the shorter format of the game against Australia and, of course, at the T20 World Cup recently, and produce the goods for an expectant crowd. And obviously not many students left, I suppose, in Potchefstroom these days, many of them on holiday, but I'm sure the crowd that does pitch up will get a treat. All right, Kevin, let's unpack the big issue of the day. World Test Championship, a place in the final. Top two, of course, play each other at Lord's next year in June. South Africa have gone top of the table by virtue of winning this test series 2-0. They need one more win in the two matches to come against Pakistan. Then South Africa will definitely be in, because at most one side will be able to catch them. Let's run through a few of the permutations and a few things that it means. Firstly, effectively, only four sides still in it, as I make it at this moment. Sri Lanka can still get through, although they need results to go in their favor. South Africa and, of course, India and Australia. Pakistan have the minutest of minute chances, but it's virtually insignificant. So how do, in your opinion, have South Africa sort of played themselves into a position where they are looking very, very strong to be able to appear at Lord's next year?
They are, and I think their likelihood is about 93% at this point. To make it very simple, and it can be complex, and I've written an article on it, which I will put up on my X later tonight.
Okay.
People have been asking, is you are correct. If Africa wins one of the games against Pakistan, that's us at Lord's in June in the final. So all we need to do, make it very simple, we need to win one game against Pakistan, and that guarantees us. If we lose 2-0, however, it makes it very, very difficult for us. Then we got to hope that India win the series 3-2 against Australia, and we've got to hope that Sri Lanka beats Australia 1-0. No more, no less. It's got to be that. So it makes it extremely complicated if we don't win it. And maybe I can just go back a step and maybe tell your listeners how the points work, because maybe they're a bit unsure as well. It's a point percentage. So every game has, if you win it, you get 12 points. If it's a tie, it's 6 points. If you draw it, it's 4 points. If you lose it, it's 0 points. Now, the 9 international teams in the world play over a two-year period, they all play different amount of games. For instance, England have played 21 in this two-year period. South Africa, believe it or not, will only play 14. So it's not necessarily every point that you get, but it's a percentage of points that you get. I'm not sure. South Africa played 12, sorry. South Africa played 12 games only compared to England's 21. So how that works is they see how many points you could get for all of those matches and then divide it by the points that you actually get. And by that way, they work out a points percentage. And the two teams with the higher point percentages get to play in the final. So South Africa have played much less than most of the other teams. We've also been extremely lucky because in this two-year cycle, believe it or not, we've missed Australia and we've missed England, two of the strongest test nations. So we are in a good position. Yeah, there's a lot of grumblings around the world because of the draw. But like I said, one match against Pakistan, and that'll be us in the final at Lords on the 11th of June next year.
So it makes sense, obviously, for South Africa to try, if they can, and prepare result pitches, because then you effectively take the draw out of the equation, even given the vagaries of the weather. Cape Town, we expect to be good weather throughout. It normally is at this time of the year. Centurion, of course, can have those thunderstorms in the afternoon, but if the pitch is prepared as a result wicket, you should still be able to get a result regardless. Just talk to me about, people are saying Australia and India can cancel each other out and effectively they can't both qualify. But of course, if South Africa do slip up and don't win either of these test matches against Pakistan, and Sri Lanka don't have a particularly good time at home against Australia, we could have an Australia-India final, could we not?
Very, very, very unlikely, Michael. What India will need is India needs to win the last remaining three games in the Australian series at the moment. It's currently at 1-1. They third on the log. If they win all three matches down under from now, they will have a percentage of 64 and they will guarantee themselves a place in the final. I don't see India winning the next three test matches against Australia down under. But that's what they need to do. If they don't, and Australia win the series, it will be Australia and us in the final if we win one match against Pakistan. So it's unlikely that India and Australia will be the top two. It's much more likely that South Africa will. And you're correct. The other five are out. So it's only South Africa, Australia, India, and Sri Lanka. And Sri Lanka have even got a harder task. They've got to hope that all those other results go their way. Plus, they've got to beat Australia 2-0 when Australia go there later as well. So their chances are slim as anything. At this point, their points percentage average is only 45.45. Which is well below even India at this point. So they're unlikely to win, and I think their chances dissipated with this 2-0 series loss against South Africa.
So then let me ask you another question. It's a difficult question, and I don't know myself because it's so confusing. I haven't had a chance to study it properly. Let's suppose things go disastrously for Sri Lanka, and they slip up at home to Australia, or at least lose one of the matches so that they can't qualify anymore. South Africa have a disaster at home to Pakistan. Let's say Pakistan win the series 2-0. And Australia win the remaining test against India. So India sort of fall off the equation. South Africa fall out of things. And Sri Lanka fall out of things. So you've basically got Australia. Who would they play in that situation if everybody messes up?
Look, if everybody messes up, like I said, for instance, if Sri Lanka don't win the two matches against Australia, that's it. That's them out. There's no chance they can do it. If India don't win the series against Australia, that's pretty much it. That'll allow us to go through as well, even with basically two draws and that. It does get very technical, and I'm sure even for your listeners to follow this will be very difficult. And that's why I have done a bit of an article trying to sum it up very briefly. But I think the important thing is India need to win the next three matches in Australia to qualify. Sri Lanka need to win both against Australia. If they don't do that, there's a 99% chance it's going to be South Africa versus Australia.
All right, that sounds really good. Kevin, just for the benefit of our listeners who want to try and understand this a bit better, where can they see your article? How can they pick it up on social media or other platforms?
I'll try and do it later tonight. They can see it in a couple of publications, but I'll put it on my X just under Kevin Rademeyer. The handle is Kevin Rademeyer, and I will even put in SAFM like I normally do as well. So, yeah, that'll just clarify it. And yeah, I'll try and do it today or tomorrow.
Fantastic. And then just finally, are we going to be able to see you at Centurion on Friday and maybe even at the Wanderers on Saturday for the remainder of the T20 series against Pakistan and maybe enjoy some of the sponsors' product at the same time for supper?
I will definitely be there on Friday. I'll definitely be there on Saturday. I believe you are commentating as well.
Yes, I will be.
So I'll be there as I won't mention the sponsors for the T20, but yes, we'll definitely be there for that. We'll catch up, and then I'm sure next week we will talk about South Africa winning the series already. And if your listeners don't know, believe it or not, the Proteas are playing tomorrow in the first T20 against Pakistan already.
Yes.
They ended the test today. They start the T20 tomorrow. Heinie Klaassen is captain. A couple of guys missing, but going to be a very interesting series again.
And that match, of course, taking place in Durban. A lot of cricket taking place in Durban these days, but it's Durban and then, of course, Centurion on Friday night and Wanderers on Saturday night. And then it's into the ODI series, which is Paarl, Cape Town and the Pink Day at the Wanderers. And then those test matches at Centurion and, of course, in Cape Town. So plenty of cricket still to come. Kevin, it's been always, as always, a pleasure to chat to you. Thanks so much for everything you do on our show and look forward to catching up with you in person on Friday evening.
Definitely, and thank you for the invite again. It's been a privilege and can't wait to see you on Friday.
Kevin Rademeier, our cricket correspondent, explaining to you everything you need to know. So hopefully we've cleared that up for you as far as the World Test Championship is concerned.